Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking Majestic Buckhead, where the weather is reminiscent of where I grew up in the Boston area, where it is just lovely. It's cool in the evening, warm in the afternoons, and low humidity. Now, when we say low humidity, we're never talking like what it is in the Sahara Desert. But if you get below 65 or 70% in the south, that is really some pretty good weather. And that is what we are having today. All right. I want to talk today about what's going on in the Middle East. And I'm going to welcome my brother who's with us just about every week. Richard, how are you?
I'm fine, Jack. How you doing?
Good. You know, I'm thinking this is in the Middle East, the way things are presented on TV, in the newspapers, commentaries, everything, they look at a problem. And they say, okay, and this, specifically what we're going to be talking about is what's happening in Syria, but also in Egypt and also, you know, Libya. And they take them as if they are independent of one another, and they're not. Everything is linked to everything else. And because of that, we are in a real dilemma and pickle right now with, we're going to get, there are people going to die, Americans, I'm willing to bet, because of the foolishness of the foreign policy of Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and, you know, the girls that are, you know, that are in the National Security Agency and the, you know, Secretary of the UN, that are really bit players. They like to consider themselves not to be, but I suspect that they really are. All right. Now, the Syrians have been using chemical weapons on their people in their civil war. Now, this being a civil war, what business do we have there anyway? But Obama, in his foolishness, drew a red line, said, if you use chemical weapons, we're going to do something. That's, you know, that's a red line you cannot go across. And President Assad went across it. He's gone across it several times. There is incontrovertible evidence that he has done that. Now, Obama's hard left does not want any kind of military action there at all. The conservatives want to bomb the heck out of them. But most Americans, the ultra-right, but that huge body in between, is tired of Middle East conflicts with Iraq and Afghanistan, where we have a constant drain on our resources, and they don't want any boots on the ground. So that leaves Obama in a bad spot. But here's the thing, and here's the linkage stuff. We're going to go around the horn with the other players and that are involved in this and talk about why he's kind of in a bad spot. Let's start with Israel. is Obama's relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israelis good? That's not a rhetorical question. Is it good? Yep.
No. Netanyahu and Obama?
Yeah.
I don't think that they don't see the eye to eye on a lot of things. That's for sure.
And why is that?
Because Obama is basically Islamic. He's one of the Brotherhood.
Maybe, but let's kind of stick to some of the things.
When Netanyahu came here,
he didn't meet with him. That disrespected, you know, the president of Israel. Just wouldn't even take a few minutes to do so. And Israel is our major ally. All right, that's kind of the beginning of it. They go out of their way to say, you know, how much they like each other and, you know, how strong their, you know, the alliance is. But that's because there's a problem. Now, from the Israeli perspective, all, you know, this Muslim Brotherhood going into power in Egypt and them being strongly against Israel, that took the whole Sinai Peninsula, which belongs to Egypt, and instead of it being a peaceful place, which it had been under Mubarak and Anwar Sadat from the time of Jimmy Carter, to where it was something that was like, okay, this is something we have to defend, which they haven't felt like they've had to defend, and haven't, because the Egyptians have honored the peace agreement that they made with Carter all those years ago. The one good thing Jimmy Carter did. He had the Nobel Peace Prize for it, and he deserved it on that one. You know, he honestly did. All right. So the Israelis can't be counted on like they normally would. Where the Syrians are concerned with what Obama wants to do, they are, you know, are they still there? Yeah, of course. Plus, the Iranians are still working to make nuclear weapons, and they say as soon as we get them, we're going to destroy Jerusalem and all of Israel, wipe them off the face of the map, then we're coming after the United States. They're, you know, they've essentially said that, you know, that they're going to start an international thermonuclear war. Not just once or twice or 10 times, hundreds of times. And the Israelis have wanted to take out their ability to, you know, to make these bombs. And Obama has been dead set against them doing it. So, our strongest ally in the Middle East is not solidly with us. What about our other major player in the Middle East, the Brits? Well, Margaret Thatcher died, and Obama didn't go, nor did Joe Biden. Nobody. They just disrespected the British. Before that, Obama sent back the bust of Winston Churchill that had been sent as given as a gift, and he said, "I don't want that damn thing." That's what it said. And that gift didn't come from the Prime Minister. It came from Her Majesty the Queen. If you're a Brit, how do you feel about that? If you're in power, even if you like Obama, this is something that, I mean, have you ever been in a place where you're with British people and hear somebody disrespect the Queen. I don't care what their politics are. They come unglued about that.
Yeah.
Always has amazed me, but that's the way it is. So this isn't George Bush having Tony Blair have his back because Obama's anti-imperial. In his arrogance, you know, he's just ticked them off too. Okay. Let's just continue to go around. These things are all linked. So when we need the Israelis, when we need the British, they're not as accommodating. We're losing influence in the Middle East because, let's take one example, Benghazi. When our ambassador was raped, sodomized, and murdered, Obama blustered that he was going to, you know, bring the culprits to justice. He hasn't done anything. It's been a year. The Muslims, what do they think about this? If you were a Muslim leader, would you think that you say, well, you know what, he isn't going to do anything. We can do whatever we want. Yeah, that's what they're doing. So Assad, when Obama says, all right, I'm drawing a red line in the sand, you do chemical weapons and we're going to come after you. Well, he said, you know, he hasn't come after the other people. He probably won't come after me either. So Assad has used chemical weapons to kill people, lots of them. And he's done it several times. Now, what is our role in that? Do we really care about Syrians killing one another in a civil war? Is there anything about Syria that's in our national interest? It isn't Saudi Arabia where we have to have oil. It isn't Qatar. It isn't Kuwait where we have to have their oil. Our biggest thing with the Syrians is their threat to Israel. And while they're having a civil war, they're no threat there at all. Just in a geopolitical sense, why do we care if they're killing one another? I mean, do you care?
No.
Neither do I.
No.
Does that make us horrible people? I don't think so. We've had plenty of war. We've had plenty of people die in Afghanistan and in Iraq. The Russians want to, as our power is diminishing in the Middle East because of Obama's incompetence, who's coming in with to fill the power vacuum? The Russians and the Chinese. The British will try, but they're not strong enough. And Obama is weak. And it's seen as weak. Now, let's continue with this linkage for a little bit. All right, we'll go back to Benghazi. When all of this happened, it was clearly terrorist. In the Obama worldview, Bin Laden is dead, Al-Qaeda is decimated, and, you know, we've won the war on terror. Well, we haven't. So that's why this Nidal Hassan was called workplace violence when he slaughtered those people at Fort Hood. You don't ever hear anything about the shoe bomber World Big Times Square bombing or even what happened in Boston. So we've had four major
instances. But none of them are called what they really are because Obama doesn't want to acknowledge that that's what it is. So because he doesn't want to acknowledge that's what it is, the thing in Benghazi, what did he do? He went in front of the UN and lied to the entire world, to the ambassadors of every nation in the world, saying that this came from the video clip was the reason it was a spontaneous uprising, and his speech said that. 2 weeks after the attack, 2 weeks knowing that it was a bold-faced lie. Now, we oppose Obama's policies. So, you know, we bring this up. In America, those who love Obama try and forget that it happened or excuse it. In the Middle East, in these other countries, they see this and they see him as feckless and weak, incompetent, deceitful, and someone that they can beat. And because they feel this way, they're pushing the envelope every place that they can. And because he didn't do anything about Benghazi like he said he would, because he didn't do anything with Assad when, you know, he first started using the chemical weapons, and then again, now he's in a position where he has to prove he's strong, which he isn't. A weak man is more to be feared in the presidency than a strong man, because a weak man puts himself in a position where he has to do something to prove his manhood and that he's a strong leader. So Obama's going to do something that's going to get a lot of people killed to prove he's a macho man. Hmm. What do you think?
Well, he will do something. And I'm just hoping that strategically people around him will make it something that is going to be worthwhile rather than just, chest thumping on his part.
You mean like the Secretary of State, John Kerry, who was the great swift boat hero and came back and testified before Congress that he saw people being dismembered and stuff like that and has been a fraud and a liar for 40 years? Or do you mean the National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, who went on all those shows and swore that it was the little video clip, and now she's his number one advisor, and she's a little flunky who doesn't know you know what from Shinola?
Diddly.
Or Hillary.
She's not in this anymore.
She certainly did nothing of value, and she got up there and said that, you know, to,
what,
you know, the
difference
like he did. Absolutely lied. Said, you know, this we had absolutely nothing to do with this reprehensible video, and bought the ads. And again, here's another linkage. All the way in Pakistan, it's like, you know, they're liars, and, you know, and they're not even good liars because they get caught.
Yeah.
And they don't give the mercy that NBC, CBS, ABC, and CNN give. They won't cover Obama's derriere at all. they want to exploit it. What they want to exploit involves people like you and me, all of us. So here we are, right up against the wall, and all of it is because of the deceit and the fraud and the foolishness of Barack Obama, who came into office arrogant, thinking, well, you know, because I can speak, you know, with an Islamic, you know, accent and you know, say Muslim prayers and stuff like that, because he is a Muslim, that everybody's going to love him. And, you know, we're hitting the reset button with the Russians. Well, that's worked, hasn't it? Boy, that hasn't worked at all. He's, you know, he canceled the summit with the Russians where there would have been a place where the two major powers could have talked about how to, you know, manage this crisis, but he didn't want to do it. And as a parting shot, he told them, said, well, you know, at the Olympics, you got to treat all the gays better because, you know, we're definitely for, you know, we're the champions of gay rights. Okay. The Russians, who are an Orthodox nation, Russian Orthodoxy is more, it's Roman Catholicism on steroids before Vatican II. It's very strong, and they are not going to they're not going to just, like, you know, let this little fop tell them what to do and buy into it. I mean, you know, the Russians have, I mean, when you think about it, the Russians aren't really our enemy. They were, you know, within the Cold War with the Soviet Union, but we never fired angry bullets at each other ever. They were our allies in both World War I and World War II. They're, you know, they're strong, and they're our adversaries, you know, for predominance, yes. But they're, you know, they stay where they are. You know, they don't have any desire to, you know, to destroy us. Not like the Muslims. So who do we need to be with us to solve these things? We need a strong Israel, you know, who's like, what do you want us to do? We need a strong United Kingdom, which is, you know, how are we going to work this out, like Bush and Tony Blair did, like Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan did, or and a relationship between Obama and Putin, where at least they can work together, but it isn't happening. And why? Because our president thinks he knows better, and he doesn't. And now he's, let me just say it this way. This is an expression that our dad used to use. He's got his tit in a ringer. And that is exactly right. It's not going to work. And the only option that he has left is to try and prove his manhood. Because it is suspect. And the way to do that is with American lives and with the military response. If he doesn't, his lame duckness will be overwhelming. His popularity, which is already in the low 40s, will go into the 30s. And he won't be able to get anything done that he wants to get done. All he'll be able to do is go on Jay Leno and places like that. And finally, the Republicans will be able to take advantage of his incompetence. But most people don't see this for what it is. They don't see. I mean, it's like, well, they don't recognize the linkage between all of this. Plus, here's some other things to just think about. The Saudis are giving weapons and money to the military in Egypt because they don't want the Muslim Brotherhood in there. They don't want this radical Muslim Brotherhood to take over Egypt that has 80 million people. And if it also wins in Syria, ousting Assad, then this whole pan-Arab thing will be so strong that it will overwhelm, a small kingdom like Saudi Arabia, and the family of Saud will be out, and they don't want that, obviously. So all of this is linked, and Obama, because he's a Muslim, thinks that because of that he was going to be able to work with these people and get things done and just kind of, create a more utopian Middle East. And it's worse than when he came in, even though we were
a lot worse.
The Iraq, which we had created, by the time Bush got done, should we have gone over there to begin with? Boy, I don't know. There weren't any weapons of mass destruction, so the criticism of Bush about that is justifiable. But once we're there, at least they overthrew Saddam and created a fairly stable state, and Obama's just kind of let that all slide too. So, we're still there in Afghanistan, and the Mujahideen and Al Qaeda, and they're just kind of waiting us out until we leave next year, and then they'll be right back in control, just like they were. So the Taliban will rule. All right, so we've got all of these things happening, and we have a president who, to be loyal to Susan Rice for her lying, made her the national security advisor, because that's something she was supposed to be the Secretary of State, but that required the Senate to approve her, and after lying like that, she'd never get in. So he made her the national security advisor, his number one advisor about all this stuff, and she's a buffoon. Her best thing about her is that she's a pretty good basketball player for a girl. Honest to God, that's it.
Yeah.
And so here we have a fool being advised by other fools, and they've got all kinds of weapons at their control, and they don't know what the hell they are doing. They don't know what the hell they are doing. They have never known what the hell they are doing, and they are going to put us in such a bad position that we may never be able to extricate ourselves. That is the truth. That's the complete truth. And, my heart has just been so heavy about this stuff and thinking about it and where we are and in all of this, how to ensure that Israel stays strong, which, boy, they are in a perilous situation right now in our weakened state, because that weakens them too, and it's sad. At any rate, we're done. The good news is, football starts in college next week, and at least we can talk about that. And for that, I say, what can I say? At any rate, thank you as always, and we'll just say good night, and God bless you, and God bless the United States of America, and we need His sovereign leadership. Amen.